holiday decor to family tradition and even the homemade holiday meal. We're talking about hors d'oeuvres, side dishes, main courses, and even some very decadent desserts. All right here, right now, every Friday on the Morbid Homemakers podcast, now exclusively for download on iTunes. Hi, everyone. It's been a while. I'm your host, Brian, and thank you for tuning in to the Morbid Homemakers podcast. It has been quite some time, I think about 3 weeks. We had some technical difficulties with the podcast hosting site, Podomatic, which I love that they've given me the opportunity to be on iTunes and share my homemaking hobbies with all of you via the magic of the internet. However, not so planned. A much too long delay of technical difficulties that I was not anticipating and that I did not look forward to and did not appreciate at all. But I can't complain too much because it's a free hosting service and it does bring me the power to come to you all through your iPads or iPhones or digital communication devices. And what a good thing. So I figure this week we're going to kick off our holiday series talking about what's on everybody's mind. And no, we're not talking about Kanye West flip out on Matt Lauer. I know that's on a lot of people's mind. Not important to the homemaker. We're talking about turkeys this year, or this week especially. Whether you get your bird frozen from the supermarket or fresh kill, there are some certain things that you'll have to remember to keep in mind if you're hosting your first Thanksgiving or if this is your 15th Thanksgiving that you're hosting. These are all helpful hints. There's no special recipes, however, I will give you plenty of resources where you can find them at. I'll be posting my favorite turkey recipes on the blog, which is at themorbidhomemaker.wordpress.com. You can also follow me on Twitter, for I give out daily turkey tips, and after Thanksgiving, it'll go right into the holiday tips. And it's Thanksgiving tips in general, you know, making place cards, ideas for place cards, fun little crafts that I come across. I will share them with all my Twitter followers, and I love Twitter. I keep raving about it. It's a major impact on my life. I mean, it's so funny how like a social media site could have such an impact on me, but it does. And it's really funny because, you know, I'm a 20 something and I love the art of homemaking. I have no aspirations to become, you know, somebody from that, but it really gives me a sense of community because obviously you, the listener, communicates with me via Facebook or Twitter or email. And it just makes me feel like I'm not alone. And obviously food brings everyone to the table and that's one of my passions. So turkey, let's get started. So much to talk about and so little time. I'm going to try to shorten this. I ramble on a lot, so we're going to try and get turkeys covered in less than 20 minutes. Anyway, so one thing you have to keep in mind is you already should have your party planned for the most part. If you're hosting your first Thanksgiving, how many people are coming? Are 8 people coming? Are 20 people coming? This is the stuff you have to keep in mind because you need to plan accordingly and make sure that you're going to have enough food. A good rule of thumb, because since turkey is the main, takes center stage on Thanksgiving, and unless you are feeding a family of vegan people and you have to worry about your tofurkins, or tofurkey, I think that's what they call. But if you're not doing that, you don't have to worry about that. A good rule of thumb is 1.5 pounds of turkey meat per person. And so basically, if you're having 8 people over, you might want to get a 16-pound turkey. Now, you only need 12 pounds for your guests, but I always incorporate another 4 pounds into the weight of the turkey that I'm going to need because I look forward to the turkey leftovers. And not everyone's going to eat turkey. Maybe everyone will, but at least you know you'll have plenty of turkey and even some leftover then for the next day Thanksgiving wraps. And basically, I will give you that recipe. So easy to make. All you do is you take a basic flour tortilla wrap and you put in some of the leftover turkey from your Thanksgiving Day dinner, some leftover stuffing. I put in some cranberry sauce, just a little bit homemade, and not use the instant crap because that's exactly what it is. and then I put in, I might add just a touch of gravy. No, I mean, just like maybe a morsel. And I'll add lettuce and maybe some mayonnaise and I wrap it up. Oh my goodness. It is so good. Now, actually, in November's issue of Everyday Food magazine, there is a recipe towards the back of the magazine featuring a turkey leftover, you know, what to do with it. And they have curried turkey, and it's like a curried casserole. And oh my gosh, it looks fantastic. I have this, like, recent obsession / discovery with Madras curry powder. And I've known about curry. I've had curry. That's nothing new. However, cooking with curry, eating, you know, food that I've made myself with curry, that's new for me. It is pretty potent stuff, but used mildly and sparingly, it does give a very robust and sometimes savory kick to your food. And I love that stuff. So it was really good. I can't wait to try that this Thanksgiving. Another thing that you need to remember, if you are getting a fresh kill turkey, you want to make sure you're ordering that now for Thanksgiving. It should have already been ordered by now, but don't worry. A lot of farmers get orders for turkeys the week before, and they can still provide. Some can't, some can. But with the obsession, it seems, now with everybody being concerned about their turkeys, which they should have been from the get-go, but, you know, with all the food recalls that our country seems to be inundated with, food safety is a major concern for people, and you know, they want to make sure that their turkeys have been raised ethically and humanely. And so you can order a fresh kill turkey from a store like Fresh Direct, and they'll deliver right to your door. Or you can go, I know Martha Stewart has fresh killed young turkeys this year that she's selling, and they are absolutely delicious. They're the Martha Stewart Young Turkeys, and they're actually raised with partnership of Plainville Farms, and they're not even 20 minutes up the street from my house. A very beautiful farm. Very humanely I take pride in saying that I know how they raise their turkeys, and wow, what a tremendous standard to have, you know, for your animals or for your, even for your dinner on your dinner table. So anyway, if you're going to do that, you should be ordering that now. You can even go to the butcher shop. They might be able to guide you, or they might have their own thing where they can do a fresh kill, or they can tell you who can do a fresh kill bird for you. Now, if you are getting a frozen turkey, there's a major concept, or, you know, misperception, or, you know, even a misperceived rumor out there that frozen turkeys are not good. And that's not the case. You can do a little bit of research about the bird that you're getting, and it is fine. You can go to some place like Whole Foods or Wegmans, an upper quality-based grocer, and you can get an organic free-range turkey that's antibiotic or anti-growth hormone-free and, you know, antibiotic-free. They weren't fed any steroids or growth hormones, so none of that's going to be in your food. They're vegetarian-fed. These are the things that you have to keep in mind. And I always look at this when I buy my frozen turkey. I get frozen turkeys. I don't freak out about it. I have also gotten fresh killed turkeys. I prefer the fresh just because I guess it does give me a little bit more of a peace in mind. And I know that it was just killed, not, you know, killed and then frozen for about a good month or two or whatever and then served. But really, it's no different than freezing tomatoes for the most part. The taste is very comparable. Anyway, so if you say you get a 20-pound turkey because you're expecting a buku amount of guests and between 12 and 16 people, and you get a 20-pound turkey or a 22-pound turkey, you need to make sure that you allot time for defrosting. People really get intimidated by the act of doing the turkey, and the turkey is actually quite easy to conquer, but you know, it's almost like that big hill you need to get over. Well, I feel like for a lot of people, the turkey is that big hill. And, you know, some basic rules of thumb that you need to keep in mind, and you can have Thanksgiving in a flash with a little preparation, in these tips. So another good thing that you need to remember, especially if you're buying a frozen turkey, is that you need to allot defrosting time. So for every day that the turkey is defrosting, you want to make sure, for every day, it's going to defrost about 4 to 5 pounds. So if you're going to have a 20-pound turkey, you need to leave it on a rimmed baking sheet because it will leak. So make sure your baking sheet does have rim sides on it. And have that sitting in the refrigerator for 4 to 5 days. Do not defrost the turkey on the counter outside of the refrigerator. It needs to defrost in the refrigerator. If you leave it outside in room temperature, bacteria grows inside the bird, and that's when health issues really become a concern. So obviously have it in the refrigerator defrosting there for 4 to 5 days. And then after that, if you are brining your turkey, you do not brine the bird frozen. Some people think that it's okay to do that, and it's not okay to do that. Brining is a technique. It was done a long time ago. It was done almost sometimes to preserve meat. You know, salt was used as a preservative back in the time of the Pilgrims and coming over on the Mayflower. And when the people were voyaging from, you know, England to this country at the time, they didn't have much to eat. They had the salted cod. They had obviously the foods that we've talked about when we were kids, what the Pilgrims ate and stuff. And it wasn't very decadent food, but it was enough to survive on. And it wasn't like they brined it for flavor. They brined it to preserve the meat, you know, and they did it in the salt. So a brine solution, it's not something you're going to make stock out of. It's not something you're going to make soup out of. It's basically a solution that, you know, it's a salty, sugary mixture that has vegetables and herbs in it. And basically you let your turkey sit in this brine mixture for 24 hours in the refrigerator again. And you want to make sure that you have room for your brine turkey in the refrigerator, because it's about 20 cups of water plus 3 cups of salt to 5 cups of sugar. That's a lot, but you have to remember you're throwing this away. And you can just chop up like maybe a couple stalks of celery, a couple leeks, an onion. You can put in a couple carrots in that. You don't have to cook that, you know, just put them in raw. And then put in some, you know, thyme leaves and some bay leaves. And then bring that to a boil. And pretty much just till the salt and the sugar dissolve, sort of like a simple syrup at most. And once that's all dissolved, take it off the burner and let it cool for about 5 to 10 minutes. And then immerse your turkey into it. And make sure that you got it, that the turkey is immersed into the, you know, brine mixture, and that really hardly anything, if anything, is sticking out of the brine mixture. You know, the point is that it tenderizes the meat and it does flavor it a little bit before roasting, and it keeps the bird moist. So these are really important tips to remember when you're making your turkey. Another thing that you can then do is after you brine the turkey for 24 hours in the refrigerator and it's completely thawed out, so you want to just, you know, the turkey is about a week, for a frozen turkey, it takes about a week. It's a week process, you know, until from the grocer to your Thanksgiving table, it takes about a week to prepare. Of course, most of that time is thawing time. After that's done, after the brining's done, you take out the turkey, you discard the brine mixture, and you basically pat dry the turkey because the turkey's been soaking in water for 24 hours. Of course, you made sure already that your turkey has been properly rinsed out and cleaned out, that there's no blood or residue left on the bird, and it's immaculately clean inside the neck cavity and inside the back cavity. And you also want to make sure that you have removed any of the innards of the turkey. And they're usually in a package. Sometimes they stuff them in the neck cavity. Sometimes they're stuffed in the back cavity. It has like the hearts, the livers, the gizzards or whatever you call them. And that's all in there. And I just remove it and I save it for giblet stock. And so I remove that, pat the turkey dry. I salt and pepper the bird a little bit, and then I do I stuff the bird with my stuffing, and I've made my stuffing ahead of time. Again, do not stuff your bird before you put it in the oven and let it sit there in the refrigerator overnight. You know, again, bacteria being a concern, especially if you have eggs in your stuffing, bacteria does become an issue. It's kind of common sense roasting. A little bit of roasting 101. You don't stuff your meat before roasting and let it sit. You want to make sure that you stuff your turkey right before you roast it. So maybe, you know, right before the turkey goes in the oven's been preheated, you want to make sure that you stuff the back cavity and that you stuff the neck cavity. I secure the neck flap with a skewer, or you could even use toothpicks. And then I truss the bird. And I use a cotton twine with for trussing, a cotton kitchen twine, thick enough that it's going to hold the bird together. You don't want it where your string's going to break. So not baker's twine, but, you know, like kitchen twine. And there's a difference. It's basically the thickness of the twine itself. And that it is cotton, not polyester or anything like that. So anyway, you take it around the neck or the breast of the bird. Or the neck or whatever, and you take it up through the wings. Now, make sure that the wings have been tucked underneath the bird. This makes sure that it has it's evenly going to cook, right? And then take it around the back of the bird and wrap it around the end of each leg. So right around that bone that's sticking out of each leg. And then tie it in a bow. That way you can easily untruss the trussing that you've just put on your bird. After it's done roasting, I then take a white wine butter mixture that I do on the stove, and I will use about 3 sticks of unsalted butter to 1 bottle of white wine. And I will, I'll slather the bird first in butter, right before roasting, and I'll melt the remainder of the butter and the white wine, and I'll just immerse, and I'll bring that to just till it's melted. You don't need to boil it, but just till it's melted, and then I'll immerse again with the material cotton cheesecloth inside that, and I take it out. I then drape the cotton cheesecloth, which has been soaking in the buttery white wine mixture, over top the bird, and I roast it in the oven. And I, you know, of course I put the bird in a roasting pan. I put parsnips and onion and celery and carrots in the bottom of the pan. And I let it roast and I wait till it's done. And I wait till the breast meat registers about 165. I make sure that I continue basting the bird right over top of the cheesecloth. The cheesecloth gets acrid black colored. It almost makes you think my bird's ruined. But by doing that, you ensure that you're going to get a golden lacquered skin, or as I like to call the magazine effect, to your turkey. You bring it to the Thanksgiving table and everybody thinks, my goodness, how did you get your turkey so brown? You can tell them if you want to. You can tell them to download and subscribe to my podcast if you want to, because then they can learn this secret. Or they can just go to the woman that taught me, Martha Stewart, of course. I remember the first time I threw Thanksgiving for my family, I watched Martha's Turkey 101 with her food prep stylist. And her name was Judy Morris, by the way. And I think she still works for Martha. But I finally remember that Thanksgiving. And actually, when I went to go meet Martha Stewart, I was up at the New York Botanical Garden. And that was back in 2009. Oh my gosh, it was so long ago. Anyway, it was in 2009 and I think it was June 2009. And she was doing a demonstration there. It was the opening of her culinary herb garden. And she had her some of her staff there with her, some of her assistants, and again, food prep styles. And I saw Judy, and when I had the opportunity to talk with Martha, and I briefly met with her people beforehand, I told Judy, it was one of those things that I'll always remember. I said, you made my first Thanksgiving a huge success. And if you would have seen Judy's face just light up with, she says, I can't believe you remember that, because I guess it was such a long time for her, but really for me, it was that Thanksgiving that I had used it on. And I had watched that segment over and over and over again, and it made my Thanksgiving perfect. I mean, it was that Turkey 101 that made my family come to the table, and we celebrated and laughed about the, you know, memories we've had before in Thanksgiving's past and the memories we have to look forward to in the Thanksgivings to come. And I hope that maybe one day If you maybe have luck with the turkey tips that I've given you through Twitter or Facebook or even through this podcast, I hope that you will let me know that it helped you or that it inspired you to go out and make your very first Thanksgiving turkey. So with that said, that concludes our Turkey 101 podcast, and we're going to continue next week with some cherished favorite side dishes and some decadent desserts for your Thanksgiving table. Take care, guys, and have a great week.